This is the art of discussing, where everyone is committed to having discussions with people sharing different points of view while respecting the person expressing them. We're your hosts. I'm Ben.
And I'm Kate. And we're excited that you've joined us. Let's get to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome back to Art of Discussing. Thanks for joining us. We're your hosts. I'm Ben.
And I'm Kate.
And this week's episode is about the United States election. So we're going to deep dive into some possible candidates for the President of the United States, as our election, primary election, is happening not this year in 2023, but next year in 2024 should heat up quite a bit. So we're going to get to introduce a lot of these candidates to you. And let's get started with that. We're going to start with the, I don't know if big guns are the proper terminology, but the likely the most visible, the incumbent President of the United States, Joe Biden. And I believe he's ahead in polling right now. Former President Donald Trump, is that right, Kate?
So it sounded like they were like neck and neck in the polls, former President Trump and current President Biden. Who knows, that could change. This is only September of 2023. But the people that we were pulling it from to talk about today generally is going to come from the Ballotpedia link you'll have in your show notes. Didn't know this, but there was 900 presidential candidates based on who has filed with the Federal Election Commission. That seems like a lot. A lot of people going for it.
Spoiler alert, we're not going to be covering all 900 candidates.
Yeah, that we would be here all
day. It's not quite that deep a dive.
Right. So how we're going to do it is we're going to follow their criteria on who they determined was most noteworthy based on candidate credentials, polling, ballot access, fundraising, and activity on the campaign trail. So we'll start with the two that are polling currently ahead of all the rest, which, like we said, was President Biden and former President Trump. And we'll go to, there's two other candidates in the Democratic side, and then there's a bunch of candidates in the Republican side. So we'll talk about each of those a little bit as well. Hopefully we'll have like a 2-hour episode. That's not our goal. So we might not cover everything inside of each of these candidates. But there's definitely enough to cover inside of just the two front runners, which is President Biden and former President Trump. If you've been listening to some of the media and other things that have been happening with these candidates, so they may take up a substantial amount of time just inside of, they've got a lot that's happening in their lives and some controversies, some scandals, some questions, there's just some of a lot of things. So talking about President Biden, where do you want to go with that, Ben? Do you want to talk about his policies or some of the concerns people have?
Well, let's talk mainly. So for those of you who out there who may not know, Joe Biden is the current serving president. He is the, don't give me a line. I think he's the 46th president of the United States. And he's the sitting president. Previously, he was a U.S. senator from Delaware for a long time, beginning his public service in 1973, before he became vice president in 2009. So that's a little bit of background on him. We could talk a little bit about in some of his
policies.
Concerns. So I guess
let's talk about policies first.
Okay, sure. Policies.
So his campaign, this is from Ballotpedia as well, has highlighted the work of his administration, which includes creation of new jobs, passage of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act of 21, the United States CHIPS and Science Act, the provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act of 22 that addressed climate change. There was always a question of whether or not it addressed inflation. Remember that episode? And we were like, this doesn't really sound like inflation. Well, they're saying it addresses climate change. And then it allows Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices. So those were the biggest ones inside of his policies. That leads into some of the concerns. Is that what we're saying? Inside of, like, he said today on Labor Day that at a rally or an event, he said that, you know, his economy is on the way up and it's better. And apparently in one of the articles I read, people aren't really believing that. So that's a concern inside of the economy. And then the other one is inside of his age. And I really think this needs to be defined differently. I don't think it's age. I think it's competency, like mental competency. And the reason why I say that is because there's plenty of 80 plus year olds who are sharper than I am. And he just might not be one of them, is the concern, that he's had some decline inside of his competency and his capability mentally. And that's not an age thing. That's a mental competency thing. And I know this from experience with my mom. Like, she was in her late 60s when she passed away. There was nothing about age around that, right? Like, she just had some things that happened that changed how she was able to function. And that had nothing to do with age. So I think it's important for us to distinguish age versus ability to do the job. Okay. And I think there's a lack of confidence inside of his ability to do the job based on some of the things that have come out over the last few months or longer. What other controversies or concerns did you hear or see in your research?
There's also some lingering concerns. I mean, they were also in existence prior to his election, but he's often linked to some impropriety with his son, Hunter Biden, and business dealings around that. So that has also become a concern for his opposition, as to whether that impropriety should be overlooked, whether or not it should be investigated further. Adding to that is his mishandling of, I would say, his mishandling of classified material, which was also a high profile event. And these are concerns that people bring up, in that should he be allowed to run? Should something be happening procedurally for either one or both of these events? And so that kind of has a cloud of some sort over his presidency.
Yeah, I think there's been some connection to Chinese businesses and other countries, that there's some questions, at least on the conservative side, if certain actions in the White House, when he's in the White House, has been influenced by that. That's the concern. Whether or not it's true, we don't know yet. The Committee on Oversight and Accountability through the House has a page about the investigation that they are doing, and it's called Joe Biden Lied at Least 16 Times About His Family's Business Schemes, and they outline all the lies and what actually has been found through email, hard drives, etc. So, and I think there was a whistleblower recently too, who is Hunter Biden's friend or business associate, that also testified. So there's maybe some smoke. Question is there fire? Right? Like, I think that's kind of the best analogy I can say. So that link to the oversight webpage will be in the show notes as well. So yes, they both I'll say both President Biden and former President Trump have some baggage potentially coming into, you know, has some things that they might have to address coming into the presidential race.
Yeah.
So. Anything else about President Biden you want to discuss?
Just there's a lot of, in most presidencies, right, you'll have either pieces of legislation or initiatives that they take on, which is usually picked up by the opposing party as overstepping of their presidential authority. On several cases for Joe Biden, you have the student loan debt relief plan that was overturned by the Supreme Court. That's one thing that does come to mind. Another issue during his administration was the lawsuit versus his Secretary of Labor Mayorkas. Is it Secretary of Labor? Health and Human Services, I'm sorry. Mayorkas, in which they were enacting the provisions of, help me out, what was it?
COVID.
The COVID,
Title 42?
Right, Title 42. That's what I was reaching for, was Title 42. And yes, the Director of Homeland Security, that being invoked about the special, keeping that going and states pushing back on him wanting to end it. That was another, what they felt was an overstepping of his presidential authority.
I think the other thing that, and again, I don't know how many of these would come to mind in the average voter's like concern, like what are the issues? If we had a magic pill that could tell us the magic issues for this election when people vote, whether it's economy, abortion, immigration, you know what I mean? Like all these different student loans, like I think we would all be rich, whoever had that magic pill of what are the issues that are going to be voted on. So we don't know how that's going to go. But I think another one, if you wanted to include that, is the Afghanistan pullout. And only especially because of some of the repercussions inside of Afghans who were helping us, but then also the 13 service members who were killed on one of the last days of the pullout. So, you know, I think if that comes back around and continues to be in the conversation, that might also be something that could be on voters' minds.
Yeah. I think that does it for President of the United States, Joe Biden. Anything else, Kay?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I have lots of opinions, but we're just going to go through the facts right now.
So our second candidate that we're looking at is former President Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States. Also, candidate declared candidacy to run for 2024. And there is of, let's see, let's do the same. Talking about his administration would be a little bit in the past, but current, he's in the news currently for several reasons. He's having, it would seem, a few legal troubles. Some of that classified material that is also beleaguering the current president, Joe Biden, is also happening to President Trump, former President Trump. And so there's, that's one thing.
Well, let's start with what his campaign is going for.
Okay.
Since that's kind of where we started with President Biden, if you don't mind me interrupting. So he was the 45th president. He announced his candidacy in November of 22. And he framed his campaign as the return to his America First agenda. Again, this is from Ballotpedia. Contrasting his administration against the Biden administration, in his campaign announcement, Trump said, quote, America's comeback starts right now. When I left office, the United States stood ready for its golden age. Now we are a nation in decline. We are failing a nation for millions of Americans. The past 2 years under Joe Biden have been a time of pain, hardship, anxiety, and despair, end quote. Key policy initiatives during his first term included the U.S. withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal, the passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, and First Step Act in 2018, reducing the size of the ISIS caliphate and establishing the Space Force as an independent military branch. Trump made more than 200 federal judicial appointments, including three U.S. Supreme Court justices. Now we can talk about, I think, just to be fair, putting it in the same order, some of the indictments. You want to go through those? I think I have them somewhere listed.
Let's see here. He's most recently, August 31st of this year, 2023, pleaded not guilty to charges in the Georgia election results interference. There's an indictment. And then there's.
All right. So we've got the January 6th insurrection case.
Okay.
That's federal Georgia state. And this is Politico. I'll put this in the show notes. So January 6th, the Georgia, which is a state federally, there's also classified documents case and the hush money case, which I didn't know much about. I'm going to look at that one a little bit later. Because I haven't read through that one, but they're all outlined in this falsifying business records in connection with a payoff to Stormy Daniels. That's the hush money case. So they're all listed in this political article. And the thing around former President Trump is if he pardons himself, he could pardon himself on the three federal cases if he is convicted of anything, but the state one for Georgia, he wouldn't be able to. That's part of what people talk about inside of President Trump. I'm sorry I cut you off. Anything else around you want to talk about more?
No, that pretty much, I'm sure there's more headlines around him, but for where we're talking about the same level of impropriety, you know, concerns that his opposition is having on impropriety, whether or not he would either be allowed to continue with his declared candidacy for the election. So that's really just the two main high-profile candidates for the individual parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And, you know, I want to correct myself by saying I said the two parties. There are far more parties in the United States than those two parties. These are just the two that are likely the most that we hear the most about in the news. There are other parties like the Green Party and the Libertarian Party and let's see, I had it up here before. The American Conservative Party has presidential candidates. All these parties that I'm listing now, they all have candidates who have been declared for the election. So I just want to be responsible in saying there are not two parties. There are two parties that are in the news a lot. The Democratic Party and the GOP, the Republican Party of the United States, and there are more parties than that in the United States. So with candidates that are running. So not all 450 of those are not in the Democratic Party. 450 of those are not in the Republican Party. They're in a myriad of parties. So,
To be fair, let's also talk about age in regards to former President Trump. He's 77. And according to polling, people are concerned about his age, but not as much as President Biden. So I wanted to make sure we're talking about all the controversies. A lot of the charges for the cases, there's multiple charges or multiple, what's the word?
For the cases, counts?
Counts, multiple counts for each case. So, and multiple defendants too, potentially. I think there was a really high number in Georgia. I want to say it was in the 90s of other people who were also indicted. It'll be interesting to see what the cases entail and how quickly they get prosecuted. But I just wanted to make sure that we're being responsible inside of some another concern people have inside of Trump's potential run. Besides that, he's been indicted in four different cases. So, which is the age? It's just not as big of a factor, apparently, to people as President Biden.
Okay. Also, since we're talking about A, there are several, I want to bring up a point, and this point is spurred on by several things that we've already talked about. First of all, there are over 900 declared presidential candidates for this coming election. That's a lot of people. As I've just mentioned, there's more than two parties in our country. So what exactly is needed? Like, what do all of these candidates, air quotes, have in common, right? Like, what is needed at the base to be considered a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America? Well, according to the Constitution, a candidate must be at least 35 years old, a natural born citizen of the United States, and a resident of the United States for 14 years, at least 14 years. Okay. So that's it. So there you got. So I recently had a birthday. I could run for president of the United States. And I'm not running for president of the United States now, or as far as I'm concerned, for the foreseeable future. But that is all. So I am over 35. I have lived in the United States for at least 14 years. I am a natural born citizen. That is what is required. And they can declare presidency at their candidacy for president at any time. But once they receive contributions or make expenditures in excess of $5,000, that candidate must register with the Federal Election Commission, the FEC, within just over 2 weeks, so 15 days. So that's how we know all of these 900 people have registered with the FEC officially.
So you kind of bring up a point that we were starting to talk about a little bit, which is my understanding is if you are a felon, you are not allowed to hold public office, correct? Is that for states or for federal?
So for federal, if you are a felon, you may not vote in federal elections. And in setting qualifications, according to the Department of Justice, in setting qualifications for federal office, the U.S. Constitution does not prohibit felons from holding elected federal office.
Okay. Because that's some of the questions I think that I think this I mentioned this when we were prepping it for this episode, but I think that this is going to be a really interesting election because you do have candidates in the majority when it comes to polling that are maybe in a different bringing up some issues we haven't really had to bring up before, which is we have a president who's been indicted four times, right? And arrested four times. We have a president who has some of the populace has concerns about his ability to run the government or be president. So like competency tests is something that one of the Republican candidates, Nikki Haley, we'll talk about later, has brought up for presidency, and age requirements or age limits. And so there's some other things, you know, like how does that work? If he's president, if president, former President Trump is president again, now he's got to go to jail in Georgia, right? Like, we never really have had these issues before. So I think this is going to be a unique election inside of all of these different topics, or like baseline of what is our minimum requirements to be president, right? Which you just outlined.
Right. And what I'm also seeing online is that language, which in my humble opinion does matter, that the Constitution allows felons to hold federal office. And it's, I would say that it is more accurate to say the Constitution does not bar, it does not prohibit felons from holding federal office. It doesn't, right? Like, so six one way, half dozen the other, I'm sure. And it is likely more accurate that it does not bar them from holding office than it allows them from holding federal office. And that's, I also got that off of, see, factcheck.org as well. So just a little bit. So that would be new. And there are state laws may vary, but this is for the federal.
Federal, yeah. Okay. Now, do you want to go into the rest, the other two Democrats that are running, or do you want to go to the Republican side?
So the Democrats.
All right.
There, there are two. So there are quite a few Republicans.
Yeah.
With the Democratic side.
So do you want to start with Robert J. Is it Robert? Robert. Oh my gosh.
Robert Kennedy Jr.
F. Kennedy Jr. Who is ahead of Marianne Williamson, I believe, is the other candidate.
Marianne Williamson, right.
Mm-hmm. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been doing some interesting campaign things. His campaign, according to Ballotpedia announcement video, said, "We will scale down the war machine and bring our resources home. We will rebuild our water systems, repair our roads, modernize our railways, and clean up our environment. We will also clean up government and earn back the people's trust. We will end the secrecy, the censorship, and the surveillance." In his announcement speech, he also criticized former President Donald Trump, saying the worst thing he did to this country, to our civil rights, economy, and middle class in this country is the coronavirus lockdown. He has also some, he is an author and a lawyer. He announced his candidacy on April 5th of this year. He does have some controversies around him, like he has some controversial views inside of vaccines and some other for Democrats inside of that. I've heard some pundits on the Democratic side that are like, I feel like, that have said something like, I feel like conservatives like him more than actual Democrats. And I thought that was interesting to me, that he doesn't maybe seem like traditional Democrat or a, you know, mainstream Democrat. I'm not sure how I don't know enough about either party to say, but it was interesting inside of that to hear. He's done some interesting things inside of his campaign. He's gone down to the border, posted videos of what he's seen. He challenged President Biden's again, without actually challenging it, but he posted a shirtless push-up video that went viral. And he didn't actually say, like, can Joe Biden do this? But he inferred competency or physical ability inside of the video. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out. I don't know if you've seen that, Ben, but that
I
was...
I haven't, actually, no.
It was an interesting video, and he's, I want to say he's 70 himself. Where is his?
Let's see. Born in 54, So that's going to be
79.
nope.
So he's, age-wise similar to President Biden and but president former President Trump. So he's done some interesting things with his campaign that has gotten some people to talk about it. Whether or not it's enough, or if it's a certain population who's talked about it, I don't know. But I have heard some things inside of his campaign and what he said. He also does have some issues, or has vocalized opinions that I think certain party, like Democratic Party or conservatives, don't like. So he's not like straight down the middle on a lot of his opinions. He's got some opinions maybe that the populace may not agree with. But it is, he has made it more interesting for those following the election. What about
On
do
the right, on the Democratic side, for sure. Notable point, he's I know in saying Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is he one of those Kennedys? He is actually. His father, he is the son of Robert Kennedy, who was assassinated, who is the brother of a former Attorney General of the United States and brother of John F. Kennedy, former President of the United States, both of whom was assassinated, the John F. Kennedy being assassinated as he held office, and Robert Kennedy assassinated actually as he ran for President of the United States.
Yeah, so he definitely has the quote unquote pedigree, but like of his family. Or at least better way of putting that, name recognition, being a Kennedy.
Right. He is a Kennedy in that regard that
Yeah.
most Americans understand the name Kennedy in American politics.
Do you want to move to Marianne Williamson?
So Marianne Williamson is a little less politically aligned. Let me start over. Marianne Williamson is also running for president in 2024. She's an author, and she's on her Biopedia page. She mentions that she's motivated by a moral commitment to the tenets of liberty espoused in the Declaration of Independence and the Gettysburg Address, a realization of the Democratic Party's shift away from the party of President Franklin Roosevelt, and the economic injustices endured by millions of Americans due to influence of corporate money on our political system. So again, she actually ran for president in 2020. So she's running for the 2024 election as well, announcing her candidacy on February 23rd of this year. She focuses her campaign on economic issues. Universal health care is part of her platform, advocating for that, tuition-free higher education, paid parental leave, and an increase in the minimum wage. In her campaign announcement video, she mentioned that we all owe President Biden a debt of gratitude for defeating President Trump, but with the things that they're going to be throwing at us in 2024, we need to submit to the American people an agenda of fundamental economic reform, excuse me. And so that's her in the news so far. That's basically her platform. She's most recently in the news, held a campaign event in Austin, Texas in late August. And she's from Houston, went to college in California, and see, the name of her book is she's written four New York Times number one bestsellers. Number one, that's very good. I have not heard of her books prior to this, but she has published a total of 14 books. including those four bestsellers. She's appeared at on the Oprah Winfrey Show, Good Morning America, and Real Time with Bill Maher. So that's
Awesome.
her
So,
introduction.
if you wanted to, we can highlight the 2024 Democratic presidential campaign finance, and we can do that a little bit on the Republican side, but there's a lot more candidates. So on the Ballotpedia, when you click on the candidates, if you scroll down, they all have finance information compared to their other candidates that are running with them. So President Biden has almost 20 million receipts, over 8.5 million contributions, and he's disbursed 1.1 million, whereas Robert Kennedy has 6.3 million receipts, contributions 6.3, and total disbursements is 1.8. Marianne is 1.6 receipts, 1.4, a little over 1.4 contributions, and 1.5 disbursements. So just to let you kind of know, like how I feel like if you follow the money, you'll follow the support. A little bit like how much support somebody has. So that's the reason why I bring it up inside of, seeing the financials backing up the poll numbers.
Okay. Some other aspects of her platform are she believes in an economic bill of rights, in which she quotes Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, is when he said, "The idea of economics is a verifiable science, being one of the greatest evils ever foisted on the human mind." She believes in education should be available for all. Gun violence. She believes that gun violence is the largest cause of death among America's children. She believes in, as I mentioned before, universal health care, and is also looking for a more liberal policy toward immigration, and emphasizes that dehumanizing others has always been the required first step toward history's collective atrocities. So she wants to stand up against it, as dehumanizing is not the way for immigration policy. Amongst other things, she speaks on mass incarceration, Native American justice, and reparations. That's Marianne Williamson.
All right. Sorry, I thought you were done, so I jumped in with the numbers, but I didn't realize there was more you were going to say. It's interesting. I think it's good to like see it or hear it versus what you like to check what you know versus what you've heard. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that made sense, but like, just to kind of check your knowledge. I kind of knew there were other besides R Robert Kennedy, but it was interesting when I read about Marianne Williamson and some of her platform.
This concludes part one of our election deep dive episode into the presidential candidates. Next week, we'll go even further into the rest of the Republican candidates. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, follow us on social media, and check out our Patreon page. Leave us a review on your listening platform if you like the podcast. If you haven't heard your viewpoint or would like to be a guest, email us at info@artofdiscussing.com.
Till next time, remember there's more sides to the story than yours. Look, listen, and learn, and keep
keep
discussing.
discussing.